Don't hide from confrontation. Preach on the subject and preach it up better. I believe that we live in a culture that has been seduced and become enamored with the idea that they are highly to be commended if they are passionate about something, anything. I don't really understand this. I think if I weren't a Christian, I wouldn't really understand it. Because it's not wonderful to be passionate about anything. You need to be passionate about the right thing. And I think it's because we have a lackadaisical society, especially some who come up enamored with video games and all this night and day having electronic things to absorb them. They haven't learned to have their own feelings. And they have let something else that they are watching be their vicarious feeling. It's not their own feeling. And so as a result, they have, I'm not speaking the whole generation, I'm saying those who have this problem, have a lack of, they have a lack of desire or drive to do almost anything. And you see, the thing that I have understood is several years ago, a term became popular. Passion or passionate worship. Do you remember that term? I think they used it with, I can't remember who it was, some of the more modern rock singers. And they were talking about passionate worship. So I asked someone what that meant. And they were so disgusted with me. And they said, if you don't know, I'm not going to try to explain it. But we like the words. We don't know what we're talking about sometimes. But the words feel good. They feel like something we ought to be or what have you. And if we understand, if we have emotion, feeling, and expression above ordinary worshipers, emotion, feeling, and expression above ordinary worshipers. That's what it was supposed to have meant. The problem was that the passion worship movement came along after people had been passionately worshiping God since, 1900. Those who passionately worshiped Him. Then where these people who thought passionate worship had just appeared, it just appeared to them that there was such a thing. And it wasn't necessarily passionate. It was energetic. Now, God is not really impressed with our energy. He's got some of His own. He's not impressed that we do unusual or extreme things unless they have a purpose. And so we have been taken in that. Then I saw in the same genre was this word extreme. So then you have extreme sports. Granted, they are extreme. But you can, and now I notice that you can have extreme anything. I even saw the other day an extreme paint store. Was the paint extreme? Were the people that work there extreme? Do you paint your extremities with the paint? I couldn't understand the application to a paint store. And I believe that one of the ways the enemy works is to get a vocabulary that pretends to be something it isn't. So that people won't become what God's intended for them to be. See, the fact is that passion is right at the heart of being a disciple of Jesus. Passion is not an exceptional thing in following Jesus. It's an expected thing. I mean, that's what he means when he says, unless you are willing to sell all you have, he said to the rich young ruler. Or in Matthew 6:33, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. There's really no other way to serve Jesus as his disciple without having passion. Passion means feeling, emotion, drive. And it's real. It's not just something. And I'm sure that I have been in churches where there was a whole lot of gyrations going on. Just a lot of actions with the bodies and a lot of carrying on. And it was just a soulish expression. It wasn't passion for Jesus. I'm not judging. I'm simply saying by virtue of the fact that there wasn't any real spiritual life in the place. And I've been places that weren't rowdy at all, but the people were really focused in their worship. You know, when we worship, we need to keep our mind on God. That's really what worship is about. So I want to talk to you just for a few minutes today about having enough passion to pursue. I think some of us don't understand that this is a biblical way that we're supposed to be. You know, over in the book of Ecclesiastes, it tells you to eat well, to wear good clothes over there toward the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. Have a great day to put yourself into what you're doing. And one of the New Living Translation uses the term seize the day. So this is where the popular seize the day thing came. Then that became a term. I'm going to seize the day. I mean, I'm going to wear myself out over skiing or horseback riding or movies or... Hey, no, that's not seizing the day. Seizing the day is hearing what God says to do in that day and doing it. And so we get so confused about what it is that we really are called to do. The word passion is only used one time in the New Testament. In Acts 1:3, it says, "To whom also he showed himself after his passion. By many infallible proofs, thank you. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." By his passion, and passion is the word that is used. It begins first with his suffering, and it describes the part of Jesus' life that goes from the Last Supper through to his crucifixion. Those were the days of his passion. You know, the movie, The Passion. Some people didn't even go to it because it was real. It showed things the way that they really were. You know, real passion, it has feeling and it has suffering that's involved in it. You know, the word passion, in the meaning of the very word, is suffering. There's a new book publisher now called Passio, and that's the Latin part of where this word comes from. And I would say that they're probably very strong on discipleship in the things that they publish. They understand that it's about having some passion for something. Now, I can't make anybody have passion, and you can't make yourself have passion. But I want to preach to you today a willingness to be passionate because the Word of God says we're supposed to be. I don't think some people want to be passionate. They think that passionate people are not balanced. You know what? They're not. And what we don't need is a bunch of balanced people in the church. We never get anything done, and you go to sleep while I'm preaching. And during the worship, you would look at your watch and you worship only so long and you'd sit down. Balance. Well, what we got to do is pour ourselves into whatever it is we are doing. That's the Jesus way. And that's what he gave us the Holy Spirit before. See, all of the definitions come from the word suffering. Meaning, listen carefully, to want to do or to have something so much that it hurts. That's why it comes from the suffering point, so much that it hurts. So let me just give you a little lightweight example. So when John and I were dating, his uh, He got mad at me one time. I really feel he had a good reason. I can't remember what it was, but usually he did have a good reason because you know he's a nice guy. And so he came in the house, and I think it was he threw my ring that he was wearing, and he told his mother, "I'll never marry her." And his grandmother. And his grandmother says, "Yes, you will, Johnny. If you marry anybody, you'll marry her." How did she know that? Because he was suffering with a desire for me to marry him. And she knew he wasn't just going to give that up. See, a lot of things we think we're passionate about. Now, I want to give you some examples. If you got online, you could find passionate about mushrooms. Passionate about quilting. I mean, you can find a passion for everything known under the earth. Now, I mean, let's see if this will help you. I feel that awesome is a very high, very powerful word. And I really don't think it should be applied to hamburgers. And I think passion is a very high, very elevated word. And I don't think it should be applied to cross stitch. Because a passion means much more than you got hung up on doing something. Come on, that's just a habit. That can be a hobby. That can be something your pals brought you into and you don't even know why you do it. Oh no, I just do it. That's not passion. You gonna follow Jesus, Pastor? I guess so. I've been doing it for years. No, I don't feel that way about it. Yeah, I'm going to follow Jesus. If I don't do anything else, I'm going to follow Jesus. Because that's my passion. And to do everything he wants me. I really can be passionate about various things. I have decided that it's not worth the emotion to let your passion be involved in some things. However, it did take me a few years to learn that. I did jump over the fence one time out here because a man was shooting a gun on our property. And it was an amazing thing. I called and asked his forgiveness, and he said, "I was just getting ready to call and ask your forgiveness." We just told each other off. His dog was on the point or something like that. And so, now I wouldn't do that today. Today, I probably would say, "Hey, Andre, will you see if you can do anything about it?" Because I have a passion to see Andre develop into a great leader. John Wesley made the statement, "When you set yourself on fire, people love to come and see you burn." How many of you like to go hear a speaker that just... I heard a speaker like this one time. "Well, you know, I've got some things I want to tell you, but it's just not worth it. I'm not going to be bothered with the way that people usually present their message." And I thought, "Well, yawn, yawn, what did I come for?" And he was boring. You're not going to follow after boring people. You're not going to follow after dull people. You're not going to follow after people that don't have the energy to get up and keep going where they say that they're going. You know what attracted me to become involved in Heidi Baker's ministry was the passion at the very center, at the very core. In their core values, they said that we understand the value of suffering. That's one of their core values. Well, I didn't want to hear about that. I wanted to go to the mission field and have a big time. But unless you go as a phony, you're not going to just go and have a big time. There's all kinds of things involved in it. There's a value of suffering in the Christian life. And learning to love requires willingness to suffer for the sake of righteousness. The joy of the Lord is not optional and far outweighs the suffering. So we've got to commit ourselves to the passion for suffering, the passion for joy, the passion for the Christian life in its fullness. And I think that we need a fresh start at being passionate about everything we do. I've thought about this example of a passionate person in the scripture was Elisha. Elisha was really quite a guy. I just love people like him. He was probably an impossible choleric that would have stepped on anybody's head to get where he wanted to go. And the scripture says, it's in 1 Corinthians 19, beginning at verse 19. And it says that Elijah departed for the purpose of casting his mantle on Elisha. And the moment that his mantle was upon him, he began to say, "Let me just go kiss my parents goodbye, and I'll be right with you." And but he did the most amazing thing. And by the way, all the time and all through the story of Elijah and Elisha, Elijah's telling him, "Go on back. What have I got to do with you?" I think that is a tremendous way to give an invitation. "Here's my mantle. Go on back. What do I have to do with you?" So, what he actually does is, and I love the way that the scripture describes it. It says that he goes ahead and he kills the oxen that he's been driving. Maybe we need to kill some things we've been driving. Or some things that have been driving us. Maybe we just start with some killings, some getting rid of some things, some ending, some things we need to end our love affairs with, because there's an expulsive power in a new affection. We need to allow an affection for Jesus to fill our hearts. We got too many things on the plate. I hear people talk about being so busy. Now, you might imagine that I'm a little bit busy. And actually, I have been doing this little bit busy thing ever since the Lord called me. But it's because of a passion to do the thing. I never have been Miss Fuss Budget that wanted to go, "Oh, this has to be this, it has to be that way." You know, Martha, Mary and Martha. Jesus told Martha she was troubled over many things. It's the Greek word torbazo, which is like an agitator on a washing machine. And I just see Martha like this, you know. "We'll get this done, we'll get that done." Now, there's some people that are tired all the time just because they're fuss budgets. God hadn't called you to fuss around over every little thing that you can take pride in that you've done. But he has called you to keep straight where your passion is. Your passion is for the kingdom of God. Then he says, all these things will be added. Trust God that if you'll seek the kingdom first, he will add these other things. Not only did he kill the oxen, but he burned up the yokes, the instruments with which he was driving them. No more things to pull me around, no more things to drive with. And so, He not only that, but he made a whole party and invited everybody in the area to come have some good fresh ox. "We're going to have a blast here because this is great fun. This is time for celebration. I have finally given up lesser things and I'm going after my destiny. Let's have a party while we get rid of all the things that have been holding me back." That's basically what he said. I think he was unbalanced. I think he was radical. You know, David. David's another passionate person. David got this longing to bring back the ark, and it's one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible. And they hadn't sought after the ark in so many years, but he had a passion See, some people don't have a passion to go to a church where you can have the presence of God, where you can meet with God, where you sense the Holy Spirit in the worship. There's no passion. And without that passion, they will be very happy in a church where there is no real worship in spirit and in truth, only singing good songs to God, by the way, which is a good thing to do. But you'll never touch on this reality that I'm talking about, where God calls you one who follows hard after Him. David passionately pursued bringing back the ark, but it cost him something. His wife turned against him. Uzzah lost his life. It cost him the huge effort of taking 30,000 men out to retrieve the ark. There's a lot of things, you know, that we could be doing, but we don't jump right into it because we stand back and we look at it a long time and we say, that'd be hard. There's a lot of things we could be doing if we weren't so afraid it'd be hard. But if you're passionate about it, you figure it's going to be hard and it doesn't matter. When I started going to Bible school, I would come home. I was still working at the time, also as a secretary. And I would be so exhausted. I'd come home from my class and sit down in a chair we had in the living room. Invariably fall asleep right in that chair as soon as I sat down. Do you know it's good to be tired for something worth doing? Did you know it's a waste of time to be tired for things that are a waste of time? I like to be tired for the good things, for the right things, for the things that have purpose. We started the ministry here, and I used to get up early in the morning, and I'd just go out. There was so much to do in the very beginning of things. And I would, that's it. I would work all day doing all kinds of things until time to go home, go to bed at night. Unbalanced. Could never have built this work if few people hadn't gotten unbalanced. If we're not willing from time to time to have our little lives rearranged, where's the passion? And there's some people who think that they're in love can't be. They're too calculated about it. I know that sometimes people are not willing to open themselves to real feeling toward other people. And they want to weigh everything out. And, you know, I think it's right to follow your heart if you're not a total fool. But I don't think it's right to follow your heart just anywhere to do anything. If you don't have heart for a thing, how are you ever going to get it done? So, you know, then Elijah said to Elisha, ask what you will. Ask whatever you want. Isn't that amazing? It really was Elijah who suggested this. And why was that? Because he had taken the route necessary. He couldn't get rid of him at Bethel. He couldn't get rid of him at any of these different places where they stopped along the way. And every time Elijah would turn to him and say, just go back. What do I have to do with you? So every time, Elisha had to get his ego back up again. This guy's not really crazy about me. I'm going to have to keep on going here. So he gets to the place, but if this man couldn't have gone, couldn't have walked through all of these different experiences they had, then he wasn't the one to get the mantle. Because the one who got the mantle was going to be the next prophet over Israel. It's a huge responsibility. So he says to him, what is it that I can do for you? And Elisha said, I want a double portion. All through the scripture you will find that God is pleased when people ask for things of the Spirit. And he is willing to give you luxuriously all kinds of natural things, but he doesn't want you seeking them. He wants you to seek the kingdom, and he will give you the things. We just sometimes get it out of order. And so Elijah said to Elisha, listen to his answer, you have asked a hard thing. Some things, even though God wants to give it to us, is not easy. And we have to be willing to know that we're going to have to walk through some things and deal with some things and take some responsibilities that go along with that. And so, as you know, he was there when Elijah was taken up into heaven. The mantle fell on him. But you know, it wasn't over yet. He had to have enough passion to wait. And sometimes he might have felt to dawdle along, going from this place, going from that place. But he stuck in there with him. He stayed right with him. And he continued to believe. He continued to allow his passion to keep him there. But then after he received the mantle, then he needed passion to take the next step, which was really a big one. Next step, he had to see if the mantle worked. Is this mantle going to work for me? It worked for him. So he goes out and he smites the river and he says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? That's passion. Because if he hadn't had passion, he could have rolled that mantle up and sat down by the riverside and said, oh God, I'm not worthy to do this. I don't think I understand these things, and this is going to be hard. I'm not going to have any days off, and I'm not going to be able to go places that I want to go, and people will be pressing on me to get something out of me. At times, I'm really too tired to bother with them. It really amazes me as I travel, when I'm flying and traveling in that way, it amazes me how often the Lord requires me to minister to people. I don't know who in the world they are. I don't know if I'll ever see them again. And it seems like God is not real concerned that I'm tired. Listen, you can go through life without passion. And you can just wrap yourself up in your little cocoon, get on your airplanes, and fasten your seat belts with a promise to yourself to be at rest and at peace. No passion. Or are we going to have passion for what God's called us to, for the life that there is around us? It's not about our flesh. It's about His call. Even Jesus acknowledged that David was allowed to break into the house of God and eat the consecrated bread. And Jesus said in Matthew 12 that it was not lawful for them to do that. He said, haven't you heard that story? Jesus said. I want to tell you something right now that you need to know. A lot of you wonder sometimes why you can't get this, why you can't have that, why God doesn't answer your prayers, why you don't have more miracles. There's a funny thing that happens when people follow hard after God with a passion. That He will do things for them, and according to the scripture a couple of times, even let them break the law. Wow. I mean, he was just hungry. And so he and his men were just hungry. And I just feel like the Lord said, oh, it's just a law. We all know it's just for a season. And he's hungry and I care about my man. That's a wonderful thing. Or that Syrophoenician woman, you know, the passion that she had to see her daughter be healed. And she wouldn't take no for an answer. He said, I'm not called to you. Well, just, you know, you would give it to a dog, wouldn't you? Hello. Or the woman with the alabaster box came and poured it out on Jesus' feet. You would think that out of balance behavior like that would annoy the Lord. Out of balance. I don't even know if there were any other women there. Probably not. What was she doing in a man's club anyway? Like Sandra says, she got to play golf once at the Augusta National. Whoopee! Because it's a man's club, you know. And so here she was entering into this men's group. And here she was touching Jesus, which she wasn't supposed to touch him at all. And besides that, according to those sitting around, she was a sinner. Wow. Must be that passionate love for Jesus gets his attention better than being so nice. Hey, I just had a thought. Why not be passionate instead of being so nice? Oh, dear. Some of us are too nice to be passionate over anything. We're just going to go along being nice people. But I'm going to tell you, if you ever finish the thing that he's called you to, if you ever finish your destiny, it's going to take some passion. And you're going to keep doing it when you don't feel like doing it. When you've been offended, somebody hurt your feelings, and you'd like to have a couple days off to pout. Or when you're just tired and weary and nobody understands how much harder you work than most of them anyway. If you're going to be one of the ones that the Lord pours out on, I tell you right now, you'll work harder than other people. You'll seek harder, you'll work harder, you'll go further, you'll want him more, and while other people are playing their little games and interested in their little worldly things, you'll tune them out so you can just remember the last sweet words you heard from him. You're not into that world. And Jesus wants you in his world. David, let's just go ahead and let him have that showbread, him and his men. And he danced with all his might, bringing home the ark in a linen ephod, which is a priest's garment. What was he doing wearing priest's clothes here? I think that was against the law too. Now, you know, when you think about dancing with all your might, you guys remember that time that I got Blake Morrow up to the front here and got him dance? See, he was dancing with a little bit of energy. Well, I see David doing that, multiply that 2 or 3 times. He might have been turning cartwheels. It's okay with me if he does. Charlotte Baker had a man in her church that turned cartwheels during worship time. And she had somebody real special that came that day. I think it was the mayor. She said, "Lord, please don't let him turn cartwheels today." And she said, the Lord said to her, "There's all kinds of churches he can go to this morning where they don't turn cartwheels." I'm not suggesting that we turn cartwheels, but I'm suggesting that we have a little energy and passion about everything that we do. You know what I do in the worship time? You know, from time to time I've led worship here in the church. And so sometimes during the worship, I do my own part. You ought to try it sometime. Sing your part to the worship, what they're doing. I like it. And every now and then they sing. Some of the songs are written in a key that are singable. And you can really key. I don't understand the ones that where a man starts singing and he starts with, "Lord, holy Lord," and then I think, isn't that too low for you? I think it's called modern music. But listen, I'm just making this suggestion. What are you waiting for? Why don't you throw yourself into the worship? If you don't move your body, at least let your heart beat for God. And let your song come. I challenge you to sing all the way through. These songs are not hard to sing. These that we sang today are very easy to sing. You just need a worshiping heart that has that passion to make his name great. David worshiped before the ark. Then after he got the ark situated, you remember that before that, the priests went. They in the temple, in the tabernacle, they had to go beyond the veil. And the ark was behind the veil. And the priest could only go in there once a year. Here's a man who wears only an ephod, who goes to worship before the ark with no veil at all. And Acts 15, the scripture says that God is going to restore again the tabernacle of David. Yes! All of that was not what God wanted. It was a picture to show what a holy God He is. He wants your worship. He wants your passionate worship. I think, I know we used to use the term extravagant worship. Extravagant worship is just where you give of yourself. You give your energy. You don't keep your eye on your watch. You don't keep your finger on your pulse. You are just willing to give this time. Dutch Sheets has a new book. I'm just reading a little bit of it, The Pleasure of His Company. And he was talking about how we so yearn for everything in our lives to be convenient. Now, I don't know why this is. I was always thought it was amazing that the Lord calls people to be a part of this church that live 30, 45 minutes, an hour away. Why couldn't he conveniently let the people across the street be stirred? I hope you know God's not into convenience. I also believe that there's real value in paying a price. Stretching yourself. Doing, you know, finding out what the value of something really is. And I believe that the Lord is calling us in this hour to be a people who are willing for inconvenience. Dutch said that people have, he said, some of the churches that have really got it down now have got the worship down to 15 minutes. And I thought it was funny. The announcement's 15 minutes. They're not good at it like you are, Andre. And the message, down to 15 minutes. It's easy to preach a message in 15 minutes. All you have to do is turn it up. You can do it, you can do it, you can do it. And in 45 minutes, you're gone. Think of it. You got it over with. Got church over with today. He said the next thing is going to be selling indulgences. Give them $20 and with blessings, skip next Sunday. What does all this mean? It means we want something that we're not willing to put any energy, any emotion, stretch ourselves, any inconvenience. We just want to have it both ways. Church, that's our problem today. And that's not what God called His church to be. How did it start out, Christianity? On crucifixion and the blood of martyrs. And end up today on whatever's easy for you and whatever you like. And we don't ever want to preach anything that might disturb you. If there's one thing we need in the church, it's to be disturbed. We need somebody to get in there with one of these electric mixers. And just mix us up all around. Really good. And we just come out saying, I don't know what happened to me, but I was moved upon today. Why did the writer of Ecclesiastes say, eat good food, feast on it, wear pretty clothes, put on lots of scarves. That's the way it is in the New Living. And make the most of every day. Enjoy your job, enjoy your work, seize the day. I can just see some people getting up in the morning, oh, I got to seize the day again today. I started doing something that Joyce Meyer taught me to do. She said, Joyce used to have a lot of problem with depression. She used to be quite a trip. She really needed to get saved like the rest of us. And so she said that she would get up in the morning, she'd be so depressed, and a voice would say, it's going to get worse, the day's going to get worse as you go on. She said, now what I do is, before I start my day, and I do this, church. She said, before I start my day, I say in a loud, firm voice, I bless this day in Jesus' name. And then she talks about the particular things. If it's a Tuesday, I say, I bless this day today. I bless this prayer meeting this morning. And I just carry on like that for a while. Till I feel some things have been blessed, and I have too. It's really hard to be passionate when you're worn out and tired and unwilling. You're not being passionate. And I think that, you know, when we started the work in the early days, and oh, there was so much to do, it was so crazy. And I'd seen some pattern somewhere. We fixed food for people when they would come to our conferences. I'm talking about up in the launch pad, up in that area. And so there was the cooking to do, and the people that would come would stay in people's houses. And we were just building our apartment building over here. I can remember that we were getting ready for a conference, and I had all of these things to do. And I was so exhausted that I found a place in that apartment building, just had the framework up, the 2x4s thing. But I found a place that was big enough, had boards high enough to cover little old me lying down. And so what I did was I lay down right there in that place and went sound asleep for 20 minutes. And when I got up, I just felt great. And by the way, that was a wood floor. Thank God it wasn't the ground. And I thought back and laughed and thought, how many things will we do if we have a passion for something? If we really want to see that thing done, then it won't be a burden. It won't be a trial. It won't be, well, I guess they expect me to do this. I'll tell you who expects something of you is Jesus. He really does expect you to be a disciple, to follow. He expects you to bring other people in the kingdom. By the way, we're going to be starting our groups. The 1st of March, we're going to be restarting those groups. And I'm really happy that all the people that we wanted to have a group in their home have told us that they're going to do that. Yeah, I want those people to stand. I think they're here today, the Watts. And would you stand? I just want people to know who you are so they can be thinking about it. Kathy, the Shipstones, having a group in their home. Come on, let's stand here. And Vincent, Leslie, they have a new 4-bedroom home that was passed along to them in a miraculous circumstance. I mean, they have to pay the rent, but through a miraculous circumstance, they had this new home, and they're going to be able to host one of these groups. Have I left out anybody? I think that's the groups. Thank you guys for standing. We're working on this because fellowship is another part of passion. The passion is the passion to relate to each other and to help each other grow and to learn together. So I just want to encourage you to be involved in these things. Be involved on Thursday night with this wonderful meeting that we get to, where we get to hear Tommy Welchel. That's really a privilege that God has provided for us. And I'm very excited about that. And I'm just believing today as we stand together. I'm believing the Lord wants to say to us today in a biblical way to seize the day. Let's watch.